the fig tree analogy reminded me also of the account in the book of Luke. And there's a very good lesson about this. I'm not sure where we can find that. I think it's a Bible study on trustingthelord.com called The Acceptable Year of the Lord. Let me just put the verses on the screen here. Start in Luke chapter 4. I can put verse 16 up there. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So here we have the Lord Jesus Christ going to a synagogue in Nazareth, and he's going to read from the scriptures. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And here we're going to quote to book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to them that are bruised. Continuing on, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then watch this verse right here. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And pay attention to this last sentence here. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now what he's doing there is, go back to Isaiah and figure out, see, the eyes of all of them were in the synagogue, were fastened on him. what did he do by closing the book? What happened was he didn't finish that verse, chapter 4, the verse in Isaiah. Let me go back there and find it for you here. Isaiah chapter 61. And here we'll see the version in Isaiah. And see where he says, the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And just to finish the context here, show that to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and to that which is Israel. So you see there that he closed the book mid-verse to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, so that and then it starts talking about the day of vengeance of our God, or the Jacob's trouble, the 70th week of Daniel, the tribulation as we know it in the book of Revelation. So there's an acceptable year of the Lord mentioned there, and then he closed the book. And that's why all their eyes were fastened on him, because he didn't finish the verse. He didn't finish the sentence. So they were all amazed at that. And what does that mean? It's an example, possibly, of the acceptable year of the Lord, because it took about a year between the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and approximately 1 year later was the stoning of Saint Stephen in Acts chapter 7, which Mike talks about as being the time when Israel fell. They stumbled at the cross when they crucified their prophesied Messiah, fell when they blasphemed the Holy Spirit by stoning or killing Holy Ghost-filled Stephen, and that was the acceptable year of the Lord. And then the day, so if if Israel's prophetic program would have continued on, then you know the seven years of tribulation would have just continued on. The Lord had in His plans that acceptable year of the Lord, and then vengeance was supposed to occur. But Israel fell. They stumbled at the cross. They fell, and then when they stoned holy, they committed the unpardonable sin by stoning Holy Ghost-filled Stephen there. And so then, of course, in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is saved. You know, the blasphemer himself, the one that they rejected their Messiah. It brings to mind the differences that are preached between Peter, who is preaching the continuation of the gospel of the kingdom, the reason for the resurrection, which is so important to the gospel of salvation, and just to demonstrate that they're you know, both Peter and Paul were correct. So there's some confusion when people understand the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God as taught by Paul. And what they need to understand, the words rightly dividing the word of truth, what they mean is Peter was not wrong. Peter was right. Peter was doing what God wanted him to do. It was just different than what Paul was doing. Paul was right as well. Paul was doing what God wanted him to do. They were both doing God's will as God had commanded them to do. But it was different. It was for a different group of people. And so what I'm saying is Peter wasn't wrong in what he was preaching. Peter was completely right. But the reason for the resurrection, both of them preached the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the reason for the resurrection is one of the many differences in the message of salvation. For example, first of all, I'll put the reason for the resurrection that Peter preached on the screen here on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, or 50 days after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's speaking, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. So there we see the context is David, you know, King David, the Psalms and whatnot, slayed Goliath, the great king of the nation of Israel, the Davidic covenant, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. And therefore, being a prophet, David was a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that would be the Davidic covenant, that the Messiah to the nation of Israel would be one of his descendants, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh. And here it is, the reason for the resurrection that Peter preached, that he would raise up or resurrect Christ to sit on his throne. And again, the context there we see is David, so that the reason that Peter preached for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is to sit on David's throne, a literal earthly throne in Jerusalem, you know, the prophetic program. Now compare that to the reason that the Lord, the risen, glorified, ascended Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul, the reason for the resurrection, the why of the cross, given to the Apostle Paul, and compare that. It's different. Both of them are correct. Both of them are right. Both of them are doing God's will, but it's for a different purpose, a different group of people. Here we see it in the book of Romans, and just for context here, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up or resurrected Jesus our Lord from the dead. So we see the context is Jesus our Lord. And here's the verse I wanted. Jesus our Lord, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again or resurrected for our justification. So we compare the reason that Peter preached for the resurrection of Jesus Christ with the reason that the Apostle Paul preached for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we see a distinction. Again, a lot of people see a contradiction. They see two different things, and they say, oh, well, you know, it's just Paul's just adding a commentary on to what Peter preached. There's an old saying that you'll hear many times by many of the preachers. Things that are different are not the same. Things that are different cannot be the same. And as Mike has pointed out and many times, things that are similar, even things that are similar, are not the same. Only things that are the same can be the same. And so we need to remember is, for us today, this is Paul writing again to Timothy, consider what I say. Consider what Paul says. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, or resurrected from the dead, according to my gospel. It's my gospel, my gospel, my gospel. Here's another example of it. Now to him that is of a power to establish you according to my gospel, not Peter's gospel, not the gospel of the kingdom that was preached during Christ's earthly ministry that is so completely different and so detailed in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's different than Paul's my gospel. And here's why. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the what? To the revelation of the mystery, the revealing of a secret, the revelation of a mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now, again, pay attention to those last four words, since the world began, and compare them with something at Pentecost there at the beginning of the book of Acts. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. Okay? We see that Peter preached something that was spoken since the world began, and comparing that with Paul preaching something that was kept secret since the world began. So, again, going back, you reminded me of that acceptable year of the Lord, where the Lord Jesus Christ himself was aware of what we call right division. Again, going back, and this is something, you know, we often use 2 Timothy verse 2:15. But again, let's look at 2 Timothy. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised again according to my gospel. And therefore, continuing on, just a few verses later, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is the word of truth? And we use the Bible definition here. We find that in Paul's epistle, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now, put that together. What is the word of truth that we must rightly divide? The gospel of your salvation. Peter preached a different gospel of salvation message than Paul preached. Paul preached the gospel of salvation that is in effect today. That is the gospel that we must believe. And the clearest presentation of that is found in 1 Corinthians, and I'll just close with this, these all-important verses. And this whole chapter is about resurrection. But you notice that it begins with the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ. This is Paul speaking to the Romans, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." So we see it's the power of God unto salvation, and it's something that must be believed, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel," that's the gospel of Christ, "the power of God unto salvation, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins." And those five words are unique to Paul, according to the Scriptures. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." So that is the gospel of salvation that saves all of mankind today. "For God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." So there are differences in the Bible. There are distinctions in the Bible. It doesn't make one right and one wrong. It's all right. We believe the Bible. We believe all of the Bible. But we just need to understand those distinctions. Sometimes people will see them as contradictions, but if you study it rightly divided, you'll understand that they're simply distinctions.